Turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and you also have the outline on the back of your bulletin there. I didn't go as detailed this week as I did last week. I'll tell you now if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 16, and while you're turning there, put your finger in Psalm 150. We'll be around Psalm 150, 148, 149, Psalm 152 in that area through the message. It'll make it easier for you to get back there to follow along with me. But I want to preach a little bit this morning out of the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We'll read verses 15 through 18 in just a moment with the thought and aspect of an idea of biblical addictions. Biblical addictions. The kind of addictions that we should have as believers. And I'm going to be very open and very honest with you up front this morning. Every time I stand here to preach, it's anticipation, honoring and doing what the Lord would have me to do, but with the anticipation that God's people will hear and respond accordingly. I'm not here to be the Holy Spirit to twist your arm to have you come to an altar. I'm not here to be the Holy Spirit to twist your arm to have you pray where you stand. But I do have an obligation to preach the word, and we have an obligation to clear all of our thoughts, our mind, cares of the world out, that the Holy Spirit might have free reign in our personal lives as well as those that are around us, that the Holy Spirit may work freely. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the coming weeks, but for the next 3 weeks, maybe longer, but 2 to 3 weeks, we'll be talking about this aspect of a biblical addictions. Today will be an introductory, and we'll have just one point. And if you think about the songs that we're saying today, you know what the first point is if you haven't cheated and looked at your bulletin already. But let's go ahead and look together, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's begin reading in verse 15, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Pause. Let me read that again. I beseech you, brethren, verse 16, that you submit yourselves to such, referring back to what he just said there about the Stephanas and his house having addicted themselves, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which is lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Notice there in verse number 15 that the house of Stephanas had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. What a blessed addiction. If we're going to have an addiction, it ought to be toward one another and helping one another. A hunger and a desire to be around other believers. And dear friends, this is the only time in the Bible where the word addicted can be found, is right here in this passage. And dear friends, America is a country with numerous addictions. I took a little time and used a form that could be addictive, the internet. And I did a little research and jotted down some numbers here. But first of all, addiction can be a craving to be satisfied on a daily basis. It's compulsive. It's chronic. It can be physiological or psychological. Notice some of these statistics. Drugs and alcohol, 28.3 million people in America, 12 years old and older, fall in that category. Tobacco and nicotine, 12 years and older, 23.6 million people that profess or claim are known to be addicted. Pornography, 35%, listen to this, 35% of all downloads on the internet are pornographic. Gambling, 4 to 6 million people that struggle with addiction. Here we go. Social media, 70% of teens and adults are addicted to social media. That compulsive, chronic craving. Teens and young adults, 50% of men and women ages 30 to 49. 60% of men and 55% of women are addicted to social media. Be honest with me. Anybody ever wish you really never owned a smartphone? Do you remember a world when we didn't have smartphones? Do you remember a world where we had big antennas on our car and a big box in our car that was a cell phone? I remember a world of party lines in the home when this internet and phones didn't exist. Now, I love you. I love you a lot. I'm going to be honest with you, and I've said this before. In the evening time, a certain time of the day, and my day off, my phone doesn't go off, but it goes on vibrate. But if you ring and it's emergency a second time, my phone will ring. In fact, I want to encourage you, if you send a text message during a time my phone is off, I don't consider text messages an emergency. If it's an emergency, call me, leave a message. I want to be there for you as your pastor. But once in a while, I think we all need to unplug. And by the way, if you can't unplug for a day, you're probably addicted. Oh, preacher, a whole day? An hour is hard. A whole day? Yeah, a whole day. It's difficult, but it's doable. Notice the references in our text to the addicted house of Stephanus. He mentions Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus as coming to him from the church of Corinth. Corinth was not a perfect church, dear friends, and America is not a perfect place as well. I'm proud to be an American, but we have our problems. Our country is riddled with addiction and other problems. America needs some Christians that are willing to live a life that is different from the sin-cursed world that we live in today. We need some believers like these men and this family that is mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 16. Again, in verse 15, how the house of Stephanus was the first fruits of Achaia. The family of Stephanus were the first ones to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. They became a Christian family due to the preaching and witnessing ministry of the Apostle Paul. That's why preaching, heralding the gospel, is needed today. That's why witnessing it and talking to our friends, inviting them to the church, is needed today. The best example I can give you, with over 30-some years of ministry, I have never been in a church service, never, where somebody walked in the back door and said, "Hey, I need to be saved." Never. Now, I wouldn't have a problem with it, and I would call a little time out, and we would deal with that right then. However, it's the preaching, and the Word of God says, it's the preaching of the Word of God where those and sinners are fall under conviction and see their need of salvation and come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And dear friends, they became a Christian family because of the preaching of the Word. After salvation, the Bible here says they became addicted to the ministry of the saints. Do you have an addiction? Do you have a biblical addiction? Why do they become addicted? Because the Spirit of God got a hold of a yielded family. The Spirit of God got a hold of a family that wanted to serve Him, that surrendered their life. As a boy growing up, my dad is shorter than I am. I have two brothers that are 6 foot over or right at 6 foot. I'm the shorty. And my dad worked in sheet metal, or some of you may remember the old term, tin bender. My dad had Popeye arms. And when he got a hold of you, there was no getting loose. I'm sorry, it did not matter. You weren't going anywhere. And I would rather arm wrestle my dad than wrestle my dad. Because I tell you, even us boys cutting up, all he had to do is get a hold of one leg of one kid and one arm of the other, and pretty much it was over. Some of us need the Holy Spirit to get a hold of us in the same form, in the same fashion. But the problem is we need to yield ourselves to make ourselves available that the Lord can, that we want Him to get a hold of us. And this is what changed this family. The Spirit of God got a hold of them. They yielded themselves. They have addicted themselves to the ministry. They were helping other saints because of their addiction to the ministry. They were laboring for others, and they were supplying the needs of other saints of God in verse number 17. They were more interested in giving than they were getting. They were a help and not a hindrance to other believers. They were a blessing and not a problem. Their works was not because they had a title. It was simply godly conduct. It probably wouldn't get much attention, dear friends, or honors from others, but they didn't do it for recognition. They did it for the Lord. And dear friends, there are some biblical addictions that every believer should have. I'm careful about using the word Christian because after a trip to China, I found out real quick a lot of people claim to be Christians. And after a little conversation with others and asking, "Describe to me Christian. Tell me how you became a Christian." And you wouldn't believe some of the answers I got. But I'm referring to believers. those who have realized their need for Christ, those who realize their sinful condition and turn their life to Christ. We need more believers willing to have biblical addictions. In other words, there are some biblical addictions that every believer should have. What kind of biblical addictions should we have in the ministry? I'm glad you asked. This morning, we will look at just one. Number one, the biblical addiction of praise. The biblical addiction of praise. Follow the theme now, the music that we sang this morning, Praise Ye the Lord. All these songs that we sang regarding the praise and lifting up the Lord. First of all, notice with me this morning on the aspect of the biblical addiction of praise. First of all, letter A, who to praise. Who to praise? You got your finger there in Psalm. Let's look at Psalm 148. Psalm 148, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. Who to praise? Psalm 148, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, praise ye, what's those next two words? The Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his saints, host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Verse 4, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Who are we to praise? We're to praise the Lord. Let me ask this morning, when's the last time you praised God? When's the last time you just said, man, I just got to share with somebody how good God has been? Do you remember today? Remember the day when we used to open our wallets up, when we used to have those photos and we can kind of open our wallet like this and we go, ting, 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 ting. You remember those days? We used to camera. Now we camera around in our smartphones. But you remember those days? That I bet you if you took my phone and we opened the photographs, you would see a lot of pictures of my kids, my grandkids, and food. Food, because my girls are foodies. Every time they eat, every time they cook, they take a picture and they send it to their dad. They're out somewhere and they're eating brisket or barbecue because they know I love barbecue. They take a picture and say, oh, Dad, outside of yours, this is the best barbecue we've had to date. I'll update you because next month we're going to a different place. And I said all that to say this. They were sharing with me all these things that they enjoyed. And we sit around as a family of food. But what about that aspect of a family of God in praising him? When's the last time we sent a text message and said, man, let me just tell you what God did for me today. Let me just tell you how wonderful the Lord is. See, it is who to praise. Yeah, we praise and we rave about our kids and our grandkids, and that's fine. But where is the balance on who we praise and who takes the eminence? Have you praised him lately? It's easy to praise the Lord to a friend or a church member. It's easy to say, boy, isn't God good? But what about a complete stranger? Just to say out of the blue, man, God is so good. Let me challenge you and encourage you. If you ever have to pump gas on a Sunday afternoon, you ever have to stop somewhere and get gas, hey, these younger generation, even some of us drive around these big SUVs, it takes a good 7-8 minutes, I've timed it, to fill up the tank. Why not just reach over there and say, hey, man, I don't know if you were in church today, but man, in our church, man, let me tell you, God is so good. We had a wonderful service. The singing was uplifting and encouraging. The preaching was pretty good as well. And the time of fellowship was fabulous. Everything was centered around the Lord. What about your church? Praising him. You never know, that person might be looking for a church. They might just be wandering somewhere. They might be in new residence. Dear friends, Why be scared of what people think? Let's be more concerned about what our Lord thinks. Make it a point today. Make it a point this week to tell even a stranger and just praise God and thank him for his goodness and his blessings upon your life. And then ask them, what has God done for you lately? Want to hear a testimony. Not only who to praise, but notice letter B, where to praise. Psalm 150, just another page or two over, depending on where it's at in your Bible. Psalm 150, verse number 1. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his what? That's a fancy biblical word for auditorium. Praise him. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Dear friends, we are to praise God each day of our lives, wherever we are. But Scripture mentions specifically to praise God in the sanctuary. Let's go ahead and do it. Join me. Ready? Say praise God. One, two, three. Hey, and tell you what, saying amen, hallelujah, and praise God when the preacher's preaching is like saying sick 'em to a pit bull. Just have yourself a spell. Have a good time. You enjoy the preaching? Say amen. You enjoying the singing? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I am so glad I'm here. Praise Him. Not only who to praise, but where to praise. And dear friends, as we assemble together, we should praise the Lord collectively. We are to praise His holy name. Dear friends, when we praise Him in the sanctuary, it helps us. When we praise Him in the sanctuary, it blesses others. It encourages them to praise God as well. There are some folks, dear friends, who never praise God in public. And to me, that's a shame. If you wouldn't praise Him in public, do you really willing and able and ready and even think about doing it in private? Our praise and our worship should be an overspill in our life. We do it at home. And don't misunderstand me. I have preached in many churches through my ministry. Being involved in missions and helping churches, I have preached, I'm not kidding, hundreds of churches. And I have preached in churches to me that seemed like it was, I don't want to say dead because that would be wrong. There were smiles on the faces, but it seemed really quiet. And afterwards the pastor said, boy, the folks really enjoyed the preaching today, Brother Cook. They were so excited. Now, I didn't see it, but their pastor knows them better than I do. Sometimes that praise, sometimes that excitement may not be loud, audible. It may not be waving the hand or waving of the handkerchief like some of us Southerners used to do when I was growing up. But whether it's a smile on your face, elbowing someone next to you, smiling about the preaching and the worship service, whatever you're comfortable with, dear friends, there's nothing wrong with praising God. And we'll all do it in different forms, in different fashions, and in different ways. And dear friends, it encourages people. If we just sit down for a few moments and look at what God has done for us, surely we would desire to praise Him. Well, after the folks left yesterday, and again, a wonderful time of fellowship, Michelle and I were picking up a few things here and there, and I was packing up chairs, and Michelle was finishing in the kitchen. And I don't think I fixed a plate the whole time you folks were there. I think I grazed the whole time, but never fixed a plate. And fellowship, just enjoyed it. And after everyone left, we were sitting on the couch relaxing and got me a big old 32-ounce mason jar of iced tea with a touch of lemon in it. Picked up my feet and we just smiled and talked and thought, boy, it was a good day. And at the same time, we just kind of both said a little loud. Not, we didn't shout it, but we both said at the same time, God is good. And then, of course, we both said all the time. Just praising God for the goodness of getting to know our church family, the fellowship that we had. And dear friends, we know who to praise and we know where to praise. This just makes sure that we're doing it. Dear friends, I am not ashamed to be in a church where folks who live right and praise Him in the sanctuary. Amen. I've got no problem with that. In fact, I feel right at home with that kind of praiseful atmosphere. Did you know that a church can get too quiet? Think about that. Let that sink in. A church can get too quiet. Let me tell you, if you've ever taught, if you've ever been for a group, and you're standing, you're teaching, giving a class, whatever you're doing, and you feel like really there's shells there, but there's really nobody there at home. The lights are on, but nobody's home. It's hard, but you need to continue on. And that's why it's so encouraging in preaching here is to seeing the smiling faces, seeing folks mumble or say amen or wave their hand once in a while, and some get a little more vocal and shout a little bit. That doesn't bother me at all. But folks, we need to come to the realization no matter where we are to praise Him. It should be an addiction. It should be what I described as an aspect of compulsive, chronic desire to lift His name, a craving to be satisfied on a daily basis. I've just got to praise God. And dear friends, if we think about it, we have so much to praise Him for. I know sometimes things in life is hard. There's mornings I get out of bed, especially on a cool night that rained, that my knees are stiff and they hurt. But once I get up and about and I remind myself to praise God, no matter how bad they hurt, I got up. I woke up breathing. Amen. There's something to praise the Lord about. Again, for too long, we have stopped crying. We have stopped rejoicing. And we have stopped going to an altar. Those things need to change. Whether it's in our seats or here at the altar, it makes no difference. My concern is the decisions that are made. And dear friends, whether you come to an altar or whether you make a decision in your chair, let me encourage you, you should probably share that with somebody. It's called accountability. It's called, this is what the Lord spoke to me about. This is what the Lord told me that I press upon me that I need to be doing. Will you help me to make sure? Will you ask me once in a while if I'm doing it? It's good for us to have that accountability, that encouragement with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Dear friends, we are not to leave the praising up to the charismatic crowd. Bear with me now. There's nothing wrong with having a good time. Be honest with me. I'm going to ask you this question, and ladies, you raise your hand if it's your husband, and gentlemen, you raise your hand if it's your wife. That way nobody will be dishonest with the pastor. Do you have somebody in your family that gets excited at a ball game? My wife's got both her hands up. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, should we not just get so much more excited about the things of God than we do a ball game? What takes place? What goes on? I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with praising God. There's nothing wrong with getting excited. There's nothing wrong with being a little vocal. There's nothing wrong with not saying a word and just smile or just saying, God knows. God knows our heart. He knows our intent. We are to praise Him. We are to praise Him. And where are we to praise? We're to praise in the sanctuary among other places. Dear friends, praising God is good for Baptist people too. It's good for all people. Dear friends, again, I am never ashamed when God stirs up a shout in the soul and it finds its way out in the worship service of God's people. Nothing wrong with that. Let her see. Not only who to praise and where to praise, but the reason to praise. The reason to praise. Over there, Psalm 150, look at verse number 2. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Let me ask, has He done some mighty things? Amen. Think about it. Is it not true that He has excellent greatness? Lord, friends, I've seen God done some amazing things. But when I read in the Bible and I think about that river parting and the children of Israel walking over on dry land, well, I thought, man, I wish I could have been there. If I was there then, I wouldn't be here now. But I wish I could have been there. I think about the walls of Jericho falling down flat. I think of the Spirit of God coming up in the mulberry bushes when the enemy thought it was the other army and they were fearful and they ran. God has done some amazing, mighty things as we read our Bible, but He's also done some amazing, awesome things right here in our lives. And also in some of the lives of our missionaries, read some of those missionary letters, you'll find out how amazing and how wonderful God is. The reason to praise God. The acts of God refer to what God does for us and for others. See, there's nothing mundane, there's nothing insignificant about what God does. Amen? He is awesome. The acts, His acts are mighty. His works of power and strength in us and for us in our daily lives. It says here, according to His excellent greatness. Dear friends, we serve a mighty God. What's another song? What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Dear friends, praise God. Whether it's vocal or whether it's a waving of a hand, whether it's an indwelling within you, praise God for His goodness. And knowing that, yes, we know who to praise and we know where to praise, but there are reasons to praise Him. Just pause for a moment and think about it. What has God done for you lately? How has He provided the miracles that He's enacted? And think sometimes even when He says no, when we have a prayer request, we find out eventually that God's still good and He was right and I was wrong. Amen? God is good. All the time. And that's the habit we need to think and form in our own hearts and lives of praising the Lord. Who are we to praise? We are to praise God. Where are we to praise? We're to praise Him in the sanctuary as well as in our daily lives. And that we have the reason to praise. We're to praise Him according to His excellent greatness and His mighty acts. Letter D. How to praise. How to praise. Again, in Psalm 150, let's go ahead and move right on down to verse 3, 4, and 5. Psalm 150, verse 3. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Dear friends, we use our voices, also an organ, our voice box, musical instruments, singing. That's another form of how we praise the Lord. You know, there's a reason why we have a choir. There's a reason why we have congregational singing. There's a reason why we have special music. And it is to praise him. Prepare our hearts for the preaching of the word of God. Everything that we do in church, if you think about it, everything that we do is an act of worship up to the preaching of the word of God. Even our giving of our tithes and offering is an act of worship because it's unto him. And for his purpose. And dear friends, as we serve the Lord and we praise him, we need to remember how we are to praise. We are to use our voices in talking to others and in singing. We are to use a musical instrument in a way, in a form, in a fashion that honors God and it lifts him up. That's why I wanted to sing this morning, Praise Ye the Lord. That's why I wanted to sing the other little song that we sang about praising God, is to get the aspect and thought in our mind of praising him. Dear friends, can you think of anyone more worthy to praise than our Savior? If nothing else, we can praise him for he sent somebody to tell me about his son. If God does nothing else for me, as far as I'm concerned, this southern boy, everything else I have after salvation is like that good old sausage gravy poured on a biscuit. It's just extra. Extra blessings, because salvation is all that I need, but all the blessings, because he loves me, he gives to me. Letter E. Who is to praise? Kind of an overlap, but who is to praise? Look at verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Okay, if you're not breathing, would you please raise your hand? We're the ones to be praising. We're the ones. Everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. Dear friends, you can inhale and exhale air, as I just mentioned. If you can do those things, then you should praise God. You should praise the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking you to get up and wave a hanky and run around the auditorium. Woo! Praise God, praise God. I saw that down south a lot as a boy growing up. But I'm just talking about the aspect of praising God, another form of saying, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good. He is so worthy. All those things are forms of praise and words of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is worthy. I am so grateful. Dear friends, if we're going to do any lifting up, it needs to be him. Boy, he is so good. Think about the goodness that God has bestowed upon us, the things he's given us. We've all had bumps in the road, all of us. We've all had hardships in our life. But even in those hardships, even in those disappointments, we can say, God is good. Think about it. Who are we to praise? We are to praise the Lord. Where are we to praise? In the sanctuary, among things around us as well. Where are we to praise? And the reason to praise? Because of his excellent mercy. And how are we to praise? With our voices, through song, through instruments. And then who is to praise? Everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. Dear friends, even a lost sinner should praise God that he is alive and not in hell. For every day that lost sinner, every extra day that he has before the Lord takes his life, he takes his own life, or incident happens, he should praise God. But hopefully, Lord willing, a time will come where they'll see their need and they will trust Christ as their personal Savior. Verse 6 again, that little phrase, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, that time of praise and singing the song, the purpose I wanted to is for us to think about how good God is. He is so good. He is so merciful. Dear friends, the older men and women, the middle-aged men and women, the young married couples, the teenagers, and the children are to praise the Lord. We are to get excited. And dear friends, can you make it through the day without it? Can you go through a day without praising God? Simply put, then you're not addicted. You're not very excited about things of the Lord if you could go a whole day without praising God. And dear friends, if you just have to praise God every day, then you are addicted. I had a friend, I shouldn't say had, I believe he's still alive, I haven't seen him in years. Michael Gregory is his name. Bless his heart, he's a good brother. Looks just like Magic Johnson. I mean, they could pass for twins. Some of your older generation know who I'm talking about. Some of you younger folks, he was a basketball player. Anyway, Brother Gregory would go sometimes to a park and play basketball for the purpose of evangelizing. And after a while, he'd get there and people start whispering. They'd start whispering. The guys would say, "Is that Magic Johnson? Is that Magic Johnson?" And before you do it, 5 or 10 kids being there, 8 of them would leave, 2 would leave, 8 would go out and tell everybody, "Hey, Magic Johnson's down on our court." And before long, he'd be like 40, 50 teens and preteens, and he'd play basketball. He'd never correct them. None of them would ever ask because they was afraid, well, if he knows that we know, he might leave. So they would never ask. So they play basketball, play a few rounds, and he'd sit down and say, "Hey, guys, man, it's been so much fun. Can we sit around and talk a little while?" And sit down, and he would share the gospel with them. Never told them he wasn't, but he never lied. When it came around and people asked, he told them the truth who he was, but he would share the gospel with them. But here's another thing that I loved about Brother Gregory. The first time I ever met him, first time, he stuck out his hand, Central Baptist Church where my wife grew up, stuck out his hand and says, "Brother Cook, it's such a pleasure to meet you. Could we have a cup of coffee tomorrow? I'd like to share my testimony, and I would sure love to hear your testimony, how God miraculously saved you." That's all he wanted to do is praise God, ask people about their testimony, share his testimony. He was just a joyful guy who smiled from ear to ear 24/7. I thought he was frozen. He was just a joyful man and always uplifting and praising God. Let me ask this morning as we come to a close. Michelle, you want to come? What are you addicted to? I know we all battle some things, and there's some things I don't do in my personal life because I'm afraid I'll be drawn to it too much and it may take up my time. But what I'm more concerned about this morning, of any addictions that you have, the most important one, and the one that can help you to get rid of all the bad addictions, is having that addiction to the Lord Jesus. Having that hunger and desire to spend time with him in the morning, to spend time through him without today, and just telling somebody about him. I can remember when I first met Miss Michelle. She had a British accent, having grown up in her teen years in England. We met in Bible college. And when I saw her, I'm telling you, my heart was smitten. I thought, man, not only is that accent so catching my eye, but man, she's a drop-dead gorgeous knockout. I've got to get to know her. And through circumstances, the Lord allowed me to get to know her, and I had the courage at time to ask her. We weren't allowed to date. We courted in Bible college. Invited her to a function. But you know, after that, I wanted to tell everyone I knew, I think I found the one. I wanted everyone to know. And dear friends, we more so should feel the same way about our relationship with the Lord Jesus. That it's so loving, so good, so gracious, so wonderful, that not only do I want to praise him, I want to tell everyone about him and what he's done for me and how he's changed my life. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. Maybe this morning as our pianist begins to play, the Lord has spoken to your heart in some way. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be just the Lord could just spoke to your heart in the sense that you've been challenged today. You enjoyed the message and felt like, "Lord, I just want to say thank you." Whatever it may be this morning, if God has spoken to your heart, the altar is open where you stand or here at an altar if you just want to come and pray. But there's a question I want to ask that's so important with no one looking. If you're here today and you don't understand this thing about praising God, you'll understand this thing about knowing that I know that I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, but you would like to know. Would you be willing just to slip your hand up and down? No one will come to you. I will not pull you aside. You just simply say, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. I believe in a God, but I don't have a personal relationship. Preacher, would you pray for me?" Anyone like that? Would you just slip your hand up and down? Let me pray for you. I see no hands. I praise God for that. But as I pray, you pray, and you obey the Lord, whether where you stand or here at an altar to come thank God or to praise him. You respond as the Holy Spirit directs you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, the blessings and joy of service. Father, bless this time of invitation. May Christians be praying and praising you and lifting your name forward in their hearts and their minds. May others that may need to come and get right with the Lord, to give up an addiction, to be more addicted to you than things that are taking and consuming time in their life, or whether it's to come and just to pray for someone else. Father, you have your way. Sweet Holy Spirit, you work in the lives of people. We ask in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Our pianist is playing.